Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Good morning. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we are continuing our discussion. We've been doing this on several shows, talking about intuition and psychic development and taking calls, which we're going to take first today. So just a moment, callers, we're going to get to you. We want to invite those that are in the queue and listening today to join us on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. Call in number 914-338-0164. Do press 1 so we know that you'd like to speak with us. And 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation that the radio show can't accommodate. Our first caller is 562, then we have 203. So bringing 562 on now. Hello, 562.
Hi, this is Yvonne.
Hi, Yvonne.
Evon.
I'm sorry. I spelled it wrong.
It's okay.
I have a name that people spell wrong too, so I know how annoying it can be, but I apologize. But that's a pretty spelling. And Yvonne, what were you going to say?
Are you guys doing readings today? Or
we are, uh-huh. Or no? We're doing readings.
Oh, okay, great. Okay. Do you need my birthday?
We do, please. Full birthday.
Okay, it's August 14th, 1984.
Okay, 8, 1, 4, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. She's a 35-8. Okay. All right, and what's your question, Yvonne?
When will I meet, like, a soulmate or my next boyfriend, that's someone that I'm going to be with for a while?
So you're going to be 32 years old this year? Is that right?
No. I'll be 34 this year.
Oh, 34. Did I add wrong? Yes, I did add wrong. 34 this year. So she's a year away from 35.
Mm-hmm.
35. And she wants to meet her soulmate, probably. I would say that might happen within a year. But go ahead, Neil. What do you think?
Well, Yvonne, us being psychics and whatnot, we try our best to perceive or see the future. Sometimes it takes on a very concrete image. Sometimes it's symbolic. But the person that I see coming into your life in the future, if we want to start on a rough draft image right now, just rough draft, it's in pencil, it's not complete, but it seems as though this person would be like a male nurse or somebody that works in a hospital or a unit for therapy purposes. Maybe they're somebody who does physical therapy, but it seems to be something in the nursing department. Now, having said that, in your life so far, do you have any references to anyone who would be in that kind of occupation?
No, I don't.
Okay. Have you ever worked?
Oh, yes. I have plenty of jobs in the past, but right now I'm on SSI.
You're on SSI, so
Social Security insurance. May we ask why?
I got diagnosed with schizophrenia 4 years ago.
Sorry.
Schizophrenia?
Yes.
That's why.
You're getting the medical.
That's why I'm getting the connection to this male figure working. You see, I worked myself. I worked in a psychiatric hospital in my early years, about when I was your age. Some of the people I worked with were schizophrenics. So when I saw the image of this person, it felt like maybe a behavioral specialist or somebody that might be involved in nursing on some level. So do you go to therapy yourself? Do you have a therapist?
Yes.
And do you go to any kind of group meetings at times with other people?
Yes, every now and then, yes.
Okay, so what we're looking at, and what is the nature of your schizophrenia? Do you hear voices? Do you get paranoid? What happens?
I can see things more than I'm here. I can see, like, visions, and I have anxiety attacks and moody. I get a lot of different things. So.
Okay.
Are you on medication?
Yes, Abilify.
Abilify.
Okay. So what's happening, Yvonne, is that there are some, what you're going through in this lifetime, there's some element that the person that you may fall in love with could in fact be someone related to the field of which you're now involved in terms of being a patient. Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be something, you know, not nice occurring, like somebody crosses the line and falls in love with you and they're not supposed to do that because they work with you. But it could be that there may be some fellow person or somebody unrelated to your immediate facility that may just happen to fall in love with you, and likewise. So right now, like I told you before, the vision might be symbolic, but also concrete. So there's a chance that the person you're going to be meeting will be related to to your illness in terms of being on a nursing, the nursing side of it.
Okay.
In terms of romance, what's happened in the last, I mean, what has your romantic history been like, Yvonne?
Well, I've been going back and forth lately the past 3 years with my child's father. I have a little girl. She's 2. And it hasn't been easy. So that's why I'm just was calling in to see if you guys see anything coming in for me that's better than my situation with him. Cause he
and you had her... You had her 2 years ago, so you were 32?
I had her October 20th, 2015. I think I was 31, yeah.
31.
October 20th?
October 20th. 10, 20, we're just working out your daughter's birth date. 11, 2. But she's, like I said, going through a change coming up at 35.
Yeah.
What, you seem...
Well, do you get out much?
Yes.
So
I play bingo.
Go ahead, Yvonne. No, go ahead.
I was just saying that I play bingo. I go to like church and sometime, and I go to the park and stuff like that. I get out, yeah.
Yeah, you do the regular things that one might do, but your condition does not really allow you to have stability at work, so you're on SSI.
Yes.
Because at any time, things can be triggered, and you're just not functioning.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, there are people that that suffer from this kind of condition, that, you know, women poets, women artists, they're sometimes when one has is plagued with visions, and whether it's visions or they get moody and they go through all kinds of things, our artistic outlets are wonderful. Do you have any artistic expression?
I'm not sure if I do, but I don't think I do right now. No.
Okay.
But maybe it would be a good thing for her to explore.
It might be. It might be art therapy. You don't have to be a great artist or a great poet to describe the energy fields that you're experiencing. And, you know, for Kristen and I, to tell you the truth, we're schizophrenics too, because we have we utilize our third eye in our pineal gland, and we see things all the time. I've been having visions since I was a child.
And you drew a lot. You drew a lot as a child because of the things you were seeing. And I will attest to the fact that when you start seeing things, it motivates you to draw, because it's like you want to, you know, replicate what visions you've seen. So maybe that would be a healthy.
Right. Yeah. Thing, I mean, when I was a kid, I would draw the visions I was seeing as a child, and they sent me to child psychiatrist because they thought I was schizophrenic. I've been diagnosed as being that many times, but I'm apparently not. But maybe I am.
No, you're not. You know. I mean, you're not. But it's being someone who's psychic and very psychic from an early age, it confounded your physicians and, you know, led to inaccurate diagnoses.
Right. You know, your exploration, too, should involve the scientific study of the pineal gland and how those visions connect to your third eye. You know, I mean, it could be an interesting topic. If you have a therapist, you should say to that therapist, I want to know more about the pineal gland and what's your opinion of it. Have you done any research on it and how that connects to the idea of having visions and the third eye?
Oh, okay.
You know, talk to your therapist about that, because there can be a direct and deliberate and comprehensible dialogue when one assumes that or projects that maybe visions are connected to the pineal gland. So, you know, it's all tied in too with the psyche and your conditions and your emotions. And so obviously there may be some chemical imbalance, whatever, Yvonne, but that's not what you're not asking for questions regarding your condition. You're asking specifically, well, I have a soulmate. Your birth date suggests it. Your birth date suggests the code, and your birth date suggests you will. And what's coming up in time when you reach 35, if you don't have found anyone by then, during the age of 35, you're probably going to find somebody.
That's what I said initially.
Yeah.
So which is in about a year, well, a little over a year away, but, and it could be within that year.
Yeah. You know what? You could, if you're able, go to the community college and take an art class.
Okay.
Or a poetry writing class or a journal class. You may find your soulmate there. Now, I know that's a little bit different than having somebody
in
the nursing field, but maybe someone in the nursing field is taking the same class. And then that way you can have an appropriate relationship with them.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, follow through on it, Yvonne.
Yeah, Yvonne, and you can follow us on Facebook and here on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love it if you did.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Yvonne. Okay. Good luck. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
Goodbye. Okay, let's bring Pat on. I believe this is Pat.
Am yes, I correct? Hi.
Hi, 712-53.
That's right. That's right. Well,
28-1. How's it going?
Better. I had a real bad time last week. I think maybe it was astrological, but as far as the withdrawal, it was probably the worst days of the 40 days I've been withdrawing, and now I've taken a turn. So that's better. And I thought, in the spirit of the last caller, I might ask the same thing. I'm hoping for a life mate. I know it might still be too soon, but that's been in the back of my mind for a couple of years.
Yeah, I remember that there was a gentleman that you were interested in possibly, and he asked you out and you were going to go, and then you decided not to, but we encouraged you to go. Did you ever go on that date? No.
Was that someone I met online?
No, it was someone in the I think that you encountered in town or something like that. And then you were not sure, but I don't know. Have you been on any dates?
I was attracted to someone online, and it turned out to be a scam. That was the latest. That was a number of months ago.
Oh, there was someone that you had encountered in town. I remember a guy, and you were going to go to dinner with him. I don't remember. Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anyway,
unfortunately, this medication has taken away my memory. So I'm sorry, I can't.
That's
remember
okay.
That.
Don't worry about it.
How do you have a scam on somebody was tricking you into a relationship?
Well, actually, since I talked to people about it, a lot of people said, oh yeah, a lot of people are not honest on Facebook. It was a match site, probably match.com, but people don't even put their true photographs on.
Oh.
And they just string you along for what I don't know. Honestly don't know.
So in terms of this person, how did he was just not real, or what was
he was like perfect. He was perfect. And I was able to trace him, and he actually has his own site of maybe in another country, I can't remember, but it's very, very slick singles, perfect world, wealthy, so on, very sort of sexual. And I traced him there, and I even signed up, and I got a welcome from him. So he just, I think people get thrills out of pretending and stringing people along.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know
so
why.
So we had a client that was subject to something like this. And went all the way to
Scotland.
Oh.
Well, what the weird thing was is that this person never showed up in Scotland, but paid for the whole trip.
Yeah.
So she was able to go to Europe for free. It was
so
weird. So there was, kind of an advantage there because, she got this free trip. The guy didn't show up.
That's
very
wonderful.
Strange.
Huh?
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It could be a thrill motive. It could be a money motive. They connect to you,
right.
And eventually they're asking for something. But,
yeah. I told him that when I realized how far away he was, I apologized. I said, I didn't realize you were so far away. He said, that's no problem. I'll pick you up in my helicopter.
Oh,
so
yeah. They're just, it's a prank call. It's ring the doorbell and run away. He's a student. So, they're not having good luck on the internet. I'm not a big fan of finding a mate on the internet.
I only look into it. Huh?
You know, I remember someone asking you out several months ago that lived in the area that you lived in. He was not someone you met online, and you were kind of undecided about going out with him. We said, go on the date, go. And, but you don't remember.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. My mind was just taken over by these drugs. And it's
vague,
they
can be really...
But I didn't go out with him. I know that much. I can remember that much.
you know what, Pat? This world's been around a long time with a lot of people in it. And and people have met and married well before the internet. You don't need the internet. We don't need the internet to find somebody. And the internet has become a trap for prowlers and predators.
Yeah.
And, it's like going to the mall and trying to see if you can get picked up. Or a bar. It's not a healthy place, and we don't need it.
Sometimes people do have success stories on the internet, but a lot of times it's a trap for,
of course. Sometimes people meet in bars and they're fine. We would suggest that you find something organically you go to a social gathering, you go to a dance.
Are there any seniors groups in her? I mean, maybe that's too old.
She's 64.
I mean,
senior groups, nature groups, hiking groups,
art groups. She's an artist. She's a talented artist. So
Pat, if you're on the search for a soulmate, and we're not immediately picking up that one's going to fly, land from a flying saucer into your backyard, then we would suggest you find a legitimate environment where you can feel comfortable with people with a common interest and see if love can be originated in that regard. That's what we suggest. Your birth date, don't despair. I mean, your birth date has a code of some perhaps strong reference to later relationship, 28, 38, 48, 58, 68. So you are 36 years past that. 36. Yeah. In fact, you're overdue. At 63, there should have been something.
Uh-huh.
So you're a little bit overdue. We suggest you're an artist, right?
Yes.
Do you ever hike? Do you ever get out and hike or anything?
Oh, I walk dogs, for a living, and I walk my dog all the time. And
okay,
I hike up a mountain.
This might sound corny. Where do you live?
I'm in New Haven, Connecticut.
This might sound corny, so if it does, forget about it. But are there any bird watchers groups that go out and look at birds and they hike and they with their binoculars?
Avid. There's a trail I go on where people come from all over, even down from Canada for this small trail. Yes.
And is there actual group meetings with bird watchers?
Probably. Oh yeah, I think there are quite a few.
Would that be boring to you, or would you give it a try?
Give it a try. It wouldn't be boring.
Give it a try, Pat. Give it a try, and see if you can maybe go that route. I don't know why I'm picking up on that image, but it may be at the starting line of meeting somebody, so you never know. So start there at the Bird Watchers group and see if you have any luck and let us know.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, you bet.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. You too. Yeah, the attitude of finding somebody, we either have a destiny line where we meet somebody and it's all part of destiny. There's nothing you need to do. It's just going to happen. Sometimes that can be revealed in a code, but not all of us are that lucky. So there's a certain, asking a psychic, when will my next relationship come up? Sometimes it demands a sort of, if there's not an immediate vision, sometimes it demands a kind of approach, a search and discovery approach on a psychic level.
What were you going to say, Pat?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was muted. I was telling the dog to bring the ball to me.
We didn't hear that. You may have muted your own phone, so, but we didn't mute you.
Oh, do I have that code in me? You mentioned something later in life.
You have a code, you have a difficult code. It's true.
And
you
the
do
fact
have
that
a difficult
she's
code.
A one is challenging in terms of.
But sometimes, insofar that you're a psychic, we can look at a birth date. Huh?
She's a psychic?
No, insofar as being a psychic.
Oh, you said that she was a psychic.
We can look at a birth date.
It's like,
We can look at a birth date, and it can be the same birth date 10 times over, but one might have a vibrational sense of a soulmate energy in it, even though other people have your birth date. You kind of have that energy. And there wouldn't be this bird watchers group that's springing up. That might indicate that there's a vibrational pull towards you having a soulmate somewhere, and that might be the starting point at which you would start to look for this. So your birthday, it's not so much your birthday has a code, but there's a vibrational sense of validation within your birth date that's perceived on a psychic level that would suggest you're bound for a relationship.
Okay. I haven't been in a relationship for, gosh, more than 30 years. So I'm ready.
Well, sometimes better late than never. I mean, sometimes, you know, when people get older, they start to look for companionship on a very deep level. They don't want to
be
alone.
That's what I want, companionship.
Yeah. So you need to find somebody your age, a man your age, who's looking for a deep companionship. They want to spend the rest of their life on the planet, however briefly or however long, but starting at the age in their 60s, to have a companion. They just don't want to be alone. And so that's where you need to start to look. You know, they had the Lonely Hearts Club and all this kind of thing. But people, you know, bird watchers, there might be a sense of enjoyment there. You know, you're not going to a sex club to try to find a mate. You're not going on the internet where people are going to take advantage of you. You're going to a place where people appreciate nature. Sometimes bird watchers are solitary people, but there are sometimes they like to be with somebody because the thrill of looking at nature and having a companion there that thinks likewise, it enhances the experience.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Good luck.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Do we have another caller?
We don't at the moment.
So we were talking about the development of psychic energy and how that happens. And you were going to express your experience initially, what it was like to consciously be aware of psychic energy, what that felt like, how that changed your psyche, how you experienced it on several levels. You were about to explain that. We didn't have
time. Was I really?
Well, you are now.
I guess. Well, I mean, you know, I had psychic experiences throughout my life. Not intense. I wasn't intensely psychic like you, but as a child, I did have dreams, premonitions, different psychic experiences, but I was not... My highly attuned gifts weren't in the psychic field. And so when I met you, obviously, you know, we started to develop those. And one aspect of that was working on third eye energy. So I was really unsure of your statement to me that when we met, I would be seeing visions. Do you remember saying that to me?
Yeah.
And so, because when we first met, we actually only spoke on the phone. And so that was for like 3 months, I think, until I came down here to meet you in person. So it began by face gazing, looking into the face, and activating the third eye on that level. And of course, as we progressed into our relationship and then, you know, became a couple and started merging our energies together, then the third eye exercises became more, more intense. And not only with the face gazing, but looking at a wall behind me, looking at a wall in front of me and starting to see visions, energy. Do you want to ask me anything?
Well, that, you see, that's just it. There's a couple of premises there. One, you already in the alignment of your energy field, you were already interested in psychic phenomena. You were going on psychic radio shows. You had crystals. You had psychic books that I saw you brought.
Right. And I want to say, sorry to interrupt, but the psychic interest started actually fairly young. I mean, when I was 11 or 12 years old, at my middle school, we had a librarian who would talk to us, my girlfriends and I, about psychic things. So we would do exercises and try to read each other's minds. So this happened very young for me that I was interested in it and reading books and things like
that. That's just it. There's a division between everyone sort of having these psychic experiences throughout life, you know, the ghost in the closet and Ouija boards and things like that. And then someone who takes it to another level that would have crystals and books and call psychic shows and seek psychic advice and things like that, which is what was in your category. So you're already carrying with you a history of energy. And if we go into the soul, that comes from the soul aspect of your experiences too, past lives and whatnot. So you're already coming prepared, so to speak. You just haven't sat down and had a full meal yet, if you want to put it that way. So what happens when you mention face gazing, people who come to psychics and they receive information and they go, oh my God, yes, that's right. They're experiencing it externally. It's not an internal experience yet. They're experiencing it outside of their environment, and they're going, oh, wow, how fascinating, how correct, how accurate. So in my estimation, what makes face gazing so predominantly effective is that now the person can own the experience that they have seen visions. So when you go into the aspect of face gazing, and you're focusing on the other person, and the person is focusing on you, and that person, without having been slipped something in their drink, starts to hallucinate. They start to see faces morph. They start to see auras. They start to see impressions of energies. They even start to see, if you will, guides and spirits floating around. Now that person can say, my God, what? I'm owning the experience. I'm not just receiving information that I'm in awe of, but I'm owning an experience of pure psychic intensity. And that becomes the beginning of the interaction of and the intra-action of having an energy field of psychic phenomena happening.
Okay, I have something to say, but I would like to take the caller before we get into that, because I just want to speak to what you just said. 916, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. This is Nancy.
Oh, hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi. Hello. I'm doing great. Yeah, and I'm interested in your subject. Do you have my birthday, August 2nd?
I don't, Nancy. I know you're an 8, but it's 50, 51, but I don't remember.
Yes,
it's been a while, so I apologize. Go ahead.
Okay, August 2nd, 1951. You're right.
Okay.
1951.
Yeah, she's a 26-8. Okay, I was thinking 35-8, but you are an 8. Okay, go ahead,
yes.
Nancy. Your question.
Yes. No, I'm very interested in your subject. In fact, I'm going to a meetup group tonight that deals with psychic development, and I'm just curious. I've taken a course and really want to pursue this quantum hypnosis. It was a Dolores Cannon. The late Dolores Cannon had this philosophy or, you know, hypnosis. And so I just was curious how you see this going for me.
The class? And you were taking a class on reading Akashic Records, right? How did that go?
Yeah. Oh, that went fine. I'm taking a little bit of everything, you know, and just kind of incorporating into, you know, what's most natural to me.
And you know what's weird? Okay, I don't know how much of the show you were listening to. Weren't you a psychiatric in the psychiatric field, nurse?
Yes. Like your memory. You have a photographic memory, don't you?
Well, I wish it was photographic. It's not quite photographic, but I do remember a lot of details about people.
Excellent recall.
But you know what's really strange, Nancy, about our show today is we've been on this theme of our first caller was diagnosed as a schizophrenic. And we were talking about the psychiatric field with her. And then our next caller was talking about psychiatric medication that she's withdrawing from. And then you're calling here and you were in that field. So we're kind of on a theme today,
right?
But funny. So you're wondering how this class is going to go, and it starts tonight.
Yeah. And also my pursuit of the quantum hypnosis is really my question.
Quantum hypnosis. I'm not really familiar with that. Are you?
Yeah.
You are.
You know, Nancy, I love your comic strip. It's great.
Nancy?
No.
Oh, hilarious. I know, Nancy. Yeah, I know.
I'm just kidding. No, not too many people are going to know about. Not too many people read comics, and not too many people grew up on Nancy and Charlie Brown and Phoenix.
I remember
that
comic.
Bad joke, but we'll move forward. The system of hypnosis, aside from it being a parlor game or activated definitely in Freud and post-Freud psychiatric sessions, where the unveiling of the subconsciousness brought to the surface under a condition of hypnosis through which you can receive information that would otherwise be unavailable. So the idea of hypnosis is to get, first of all, into the mental psyche of a person where experiences can be repressed or depressed, whatever it may be. And so you're unraveling a system of experiences that are lifelike. When we get into quantum hypnosis, we're getting into the area that we're going deeper than that. We're getting into the layers of the subconsciousness. It's almost like probing into the oceans where there's no light. And now we're discovering what the depths of the oceans really reveal, because there is life down there. So when we get into the lower layers of energy, the deeper layers, where we move into what I would consider to be the pineal gland, and we unravel the processes of thought and experiences from the soul's perspective, from the spiritual's perspective, from the past life perspective, that even reaches out into the cosmos, that is beyond the individual psyche, the personality of the person itself. Now we're getting into an element of an elaborate sense of consciousness that might be regarded as omniscience, pure knowingness. And when we get into those fields through the layers of hypnosis, through breath, through the attitude that we are slumbering, yet we are alive, and we're consciously available to perceive information as we are in that slumber of hypnosis, then we get into the trance-like states of having visions, like Casey. And so there is, if you're under a trained person that knows how to manage this and direct this without any ulterior motive, but is in the pure scientific field of hypnosis on a psychic parapsychology level, then we get into something that's pretty fascinating. But, you know, don't really have time to get into the depth of this. And maybe what I'm saying is already something you've absorbed and understood, but because I don't know what level of which you're, you know, you have to be
well,
aware.
That's why I'm interested in it.
She obviously has a background dealing with the mind and the psyche. So that's, you know, it's not like she's coming into it as, you know, a plumber.
Well, you know, you're getting into the abstraction of hypnosis. You're not getting into the clinical aspect of hypnosis, but this is more the cosmic abstraction of hypnosis, which is still probing into the psyche, but you're doing so in a way that is at its most elaborate level is abstract, meaning that it gets into the soul of consciousness more than just the mentality of life.
So are you looking to do this, like, on the, I mean, I know you're retired, but on the side in terms of,
yes,
like,
I would
money.
Love to, because you know what? Money could come later. Right now, you know, you have to do voluntary anyway, you know, so you can practice it.
Right.
So I'm just so fascinated by it, because you're going like Neil was saying, you know, down into the deep psyche, and the people are actually dealing with their own psyche, talking to you. You're only the facilitator. So it. You know, I mean, it's a proof that, you know, they have the answers themselves, their higher self.
Right.
Yeah, the higher self. The soul has gathered more information than the body can. And the mentality of the physical brain is limited to the environment of past lives and other realms and dimensions, which is really embedded in the pineal gland. So we have that information available to us via the soul. And that's where the quantum hypnosis takes place, when it taps into that pool.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of her doing this, it's a green light.
It's a green light.
Green light.
If you're with somebody qualified, you know, and
yeah,
then they're really a pure, if you will, physician of the cosmic aspect of consciousness. Yes, you know, but you just that's where you have to be careful, and you have to sometimes be careful with in the intermingling. If you're going that deep into your psyche, you need to be careful of who you're working with or who you're co-relating with.
Which we're going to discuss. And also, I think, I don't know if we're going to have time because we have another caller, but, you know, talking about the importance of shielding your energy when delving into any psychic
shielding
field.
And or avoiding and, entirely.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Got it.
But of course it's a green light, Nancy. Why wouldn't it be a green light? It's a fascinating frontier. Dive into it. Just be cautious like anything. You know,
right.
You have a car, you don't go 90 miles
an
hour.
So in terms of like practical advice, if the person that you're working with, you know, has a lot of problems on the physical plane, obviously that's someone you're probably not going to want to work with or merge your energy with, because someone who is, you know, you want to be have all the chakras in alignment
in
and
alignment.
Spinning correctly.
If someone who professes to teach quantum hypnosis, they have to have reached that plane. So they've worked out all their karma. They've worked out their issues. They're no longer involved in the process of desire, want, psychological problems. They've worked
problems
through
in
that.
Relationships, foundation.
Right. They've reached the perfection of being like a shaman or a mentor. Because they've worked through all the earth level energies so that they can now investigate the third eye without the interference of ego.
And it's not to say that someone who is in this position of being a mentor and has worked out all these things won't encounter problems on the physical plane, you know, because we're all in the earth. So obviously those come up, but there's a marked difference between someone who's really enmeshed in these problems and someone who is at a higher level encountering normal obstacles. So anyway, hopefully that helps you, Nancy.
Yeah, that helps me. Just to say one thing, this is through the program that Dolores Cannon, and she's the one that actually started this whole hypnosis, the quantum hypnosis, and she passed away, but her daughter and the people that work with Dolores took over. So it's actually through a pure source, you know, that I'm getting from. It's not from these charlatans that say, oh, we're going to do this. And I'm very wary of that kind of thing. So,
right. It's just, you know, anybody in any type of organization, there can be, you know,
there can be
a bad apple.
This comes from a legitimate school of study and originated from its founder. And yeah, I understand all that. So our address was really broadly spoken to the general listening public, but specifically, yes, that's why we're saying a green light for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, got it then. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. And we'd love it if you joined us on Facebook. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile.
Okay.
Please do.
Thank you.
We'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, there are a lot of people claiming to go through a shamanic initiation. I see it all the time. And, you know, being a shaman is not,
a lot of people,
it's not every
that.
Third person's a shaman.
Yeah.
It's not.
Self-proclaiming yourself to be a shaman you're a self-proclaimed shaman. But a true shaman goes through a different kind of ritual, and it's very sacred and it's very solitary. And
years and years of preparation, study. I mean, this is someone who is completely devoted.
You don't get into an elevator with a crowded elevator and say, hey, how many shamans are in the room with us today? You know, raise your hand. They don't crop up like weeds. True shamans are very sacred people,
and
of the most strongest indications is that they lead a very sacred life, sometimes a solitary life.
Okay, let's bring on our next caller, 312. Hi there.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello. Pretty good. I have a question. I had called the other day and wanted to find out if you saw anything on the career front. For me, I had applied for some government jobs. I'm on the train right now.
Just recently. 331-71, you're 25-7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't have your name written down on that previous note, but anyway, now I have it.
Oh, could you tell me to call back?
Yeah. I just looked up and realized I hadn't written your name. Her name's Karen. I made the note previously. So what is your question today specifically about the job?
I found two new ones that I applied for, and I went to the second level. They sent me an email, and they had me take some additional testing and additional information. And I'm wondering if you see if one of those two will be the one.
Okay. What do you think?
You know, I want to ask you something on the side, Karen, and this might seem strange for me to ask this question, but when was the last time you had an eye test, a vision test?
Maybe 3 years ago.
Was that for license, or what was that for?
Just for glasses, just for getting a pair of glasses.
Okay. Now, having asked that question, and you had one about 3 years ago, of these two jobs, which one do you think, if you had to answer this question, no matter what, you had to answer it, which one would require better vision, with or without glasses, that you would need to have a visionary acuteness?
Probably the second one. The second one is a hearing. It's like more customer service, talking on the phone. And then the other one is more dealing with paperwork and people.
What kind? What is your background?
I have a communication background and administrative background.
Okay.
One is paperwork and people. That might be the one that, you know. As in, okay, well, you're only using, I like to use the term where you're putting this in pencil, not pen. That might be the one. I don't know what your take is, if you think, oh, yeah, I have a better feeling about that one. But the one that you referred to as paperwork and people, you listed it second on your list. The other one was more telephone work. But
yes.
Do you have a preference between the two?
That one with the people and the paperwork. I kind of hope I get that one.
Well, maybe we're picking up on your interest in it. So the psychic connection is we're picking up on your enthusiasm, and we validated it that way. But let's assume that maybe that's the one you're going to get. The only other part of this that may hit you initially, may hit you later, is the name. It's either Leslie or Lynn as a name floating around you or in your past or perhaps it's going to be in your future.
Huh. I knew a girl named Lynn at my other job a long time ago.
Okay, well, Lynn, since the name Lynn is connected to the job, a job subject, that might be the validation that, you know, you could have said, I knew a Lynn in school, I knew a Lynn down the block, but since you mentioned it in the category of job, that might be the incentive to assume that you're going to get this job with the paperwork and the people.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, keep in touch with us, Karen. Let us know how things progress.
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we have about 10 minutes left. We're talking about
how initially the inner experience, face gazing to me, is an incentive to allowing someone to own the experience that there's psychic things going on.
Right.
Aside from just saying, oh, you know, answer my question, prove to me you're so psychic, you'll say things. Well, the person's more, it's more objective. You're receiving information that you can validate.
Well, I mean, you know, some people do see things. Their third eye is opened from a young age like yours, but to a lesser extent, I think. For me, I didn't have that experience of seeing things. Well, I guess I'd had a couple of experiences where I saw flashes of light in the window, but it wasn't something that I thought that was going to occur when I came to visit you. Yeah. I mean, I really didn't.
It's
When
you're staring at somebody and you see a face morph into another face, so you see an aura or some extraordinary phenomena happens that takes your breath away, now is the time to say to oneself, my God, something's going on here, and I just saw it, and I can own it. And that begins the communication between the physical eye and the eternal eye, internal eye, third eye, whereby psychic development can now even be enhanced because you're tapping into a source of energy that is beyond the physical realm of existence. Now you're getting into a whole topic of different energies. And from there, you can broaden the stage by learning about chakras and past lives and astral projecting and things like this that help to illuminate and reveal the inner world of psychic phenomena so that you just don't have, you know, anyone can look at a video of a ghost walking down the street or something. When people have a common experience with psychic phenomena, 10 people just saw a ghost rise from the graveyard. That's not really developing your psychic skills. That just means that the phenomena itself manifested
into the physicality.
Realm. Yeah.
Right.
So anyone can see it. What makes psychic abilities so acutely unique is when you see things that other people can't. But yet what you see can be perhaps be validated through information gathering, or you don't gather any information, but you swear on your soul you saw something and it was there. Now the acuteness, the development of psychic phenomena goes from seeing vague things like kind of faces and stuff in people's faces to actually seeing spirits and having conversations with them, which is where my experience took me as a small child. I would have conversations with ghosts that took me, you know, ultimately took me into seeing psychiatrists because, you know, no one knew what I was talking about. They thought it was a mental problem. Obviously, it wasn't. It was never institutionalized. I was never anything like that. And the information in itself turned out to be accurate. When these spirits would tell me things and I would test them into the real world, I'd be getting accurate information back from living people or from the evidence of going to a certain site and seeing something in the physical world. So that becomes, this is what makes it so fascinating, is that there's a whole dimension beyond our dimension that is filled with inhabitants. Whether they're souls or angels or spirits, guides, or just even animal spirits, or just the substance, the phenomena of psychic energy, you know, orbs, plasmic energy. It doesn't, whatever it may be, there's a communication level. Think of it being on the earth. You may see a jellyfish and think, well, there's no way to communicate with that thing. What is it? But yet it is a living organism. And there is a communication that goes on, even though there may be no brain per se, there is a living energy going on that perceives its environment through sensation, that has a digestive system. So not all forms of life have a brain. And this is what makes it so remarkable, that there is something beyond the brain that still gives life to an organism. And that it can still have a tactile, have a sensational vibration with its environment because it needs to exist. It needs to take something in and eat it and digest it. So, and then it has to procreate more or less too. So all of these aspects fulfill the attitude of what it is to be psychic. So I ask you again, in your experience.
Well, I would say that, you know, in terms of developing the third eye and really working at it in a disciplined manner, it's not only the third eye that's awakened in terms of visions, but it's other psychic abilities. So, you know, knowing what's going to happen prior to it happening, getting I wouldn't say, you know, I can't say either. I have a communication with spirits and angels. That's a different story. You know, it's on a physical, there's a physical connection. So I wouldn't say that in terms of what kind of psychic information I get. I think that's more of a, what would the classification be for, you know, things that you hear, but not coming from spirit.
Things that you hear, but not, well.
Yeah, well, you know, a psychic, there's communication with other entities, but there's also
audio clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance
can be considered that category. You know, that can be auditory energy that's on a clairvoyant field.
So those, I mean, I think with the development of the third eye for myself, in terms of dreams, in terms of clairvoyance, all those things have increased. Getting numbers, knowing who's calling on the phone ahead of time. I would say 90% of the time I can identify that. But, you know, it's sometimes the third eye will be more intense, and sometimes the psychic information will be more intense, and they seem to kind of do a dance in terms of the balance. You know, one, as you're developing this
right.
energy, one is more intense than the other at times. So it's about striking a balance between the two.
Well, it's sort of limited, but you could crudely say that psychic energy is the refinement of intuition. It being intuitive and being psychic are two very different things, as we
they
explained.
Are different things, but I would say that in the development of my own personal psychic energy, my intuition has become also much more acute.
That's just it. The development, the refinement of intuition can lead one into the element of being purely psychic. So where you don't exist on the impression of feelings, you exist on the impression of detail.
Yeah, I had an experience the other day in the parking lot where there was a woman walking. You were with me, and she was walking. There were two cars. I didn't really look at the cars that much, but I thought, okay, she's going to walk towards this car. She walked towards, you know, one of the cars, and in my head, I heard Lexus, and I looked at the front of the vehicle, and she was. It was a Lexus,
yep.
And I was shocked because I thought, oh, my God, why am I getting this information?
That's the bridge. See, by feeling that she was going to walk towards her car, that's intuition. By getting the attitude of Lexus, that was psychic.
Right, that was
so
psychic, and
did,
I had not seen anything on the car identifying its make.
So what you had was instantaneously, spontaneously, the marriage between intuition developing into psychic energy. Most good psychics approach things intuitively, and because they're attuned to the psyche, their intuition automatically transforms into psychic energy. It's like you turn on the car, now you're moving.
But the next step, I would say, is learning how to control it and to be able to harness it and access it at will. So it's I'm sure you experienced it when you were a child. You probably had a rush of things coming in and didn't know how to to categorize and
discernment and discipline. It's a great effort to be able to separate now the imagination, what you're imagining, or what you think may be, from what is accurate. That's the heart. One of the hardest tools to pick up and work with is discernment and separation between the imagination or what you think is really real because it feels that way, as opposed to what is accurate.
Right.
So,
because a lot of people hear things in their heads and they think it's psychic, and it's absolutely not. And there's no psychic connection at all.
Well, it's like a courtroom. In psychic energy, I don't care about what you're feeling. I want to know what you know. I want the facts. A good psychic can't really base their energy purely on feeling. That can be misleading. A good psychic bases on facts. However, feelings do play a part in that, of course. But a psychic is going to be able to separate
feeling
from
fact
at the same time that they're working with feeling. It's kind of tricky. But that's just the category of being psychic. You have to be able to pull out facts if you want to proclaim yourself as being a psychic. And it's not always accurate. That's why it can't be considered a legitimate science. It's always going to be in that elemental field of pseudoscience. But still, effective. Science is interested in the psyche. But is it ever going to be a legitimate? Unfortunately, probably not, even though it should be taught in school.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to put an end to our discussion here because we are out of time.
I kind of felt you were going to do that. That was a fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was. I guess you were being intuitive. I guess we can continue on Friday because there's still more to discuss. I mean, we could talk about this endlessly, but we are out of time today. So we are back on the air at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.